Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And although we've used this psalm in the past, I want to say tonight, if it had not been for the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the privilege, the honor that we have to be able to stand before you. We're asking, oh God, that you would intervene and show yourself mighty. We thank you for all that you've done in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. I don't know exactly why, but it seems like very little has been said this year about the 7th anniversary of 9/11. And one political analyst who was talking said that the media deliberately are not talking about it because they feel like that it would give the current administration an advantage and the current party an advantage. They're not talking about history because it would give one party more advantage over the other. Well, I say let the chips fall where they may. And tomorrow, on the 7th anniversary of 9/11, we are going to pause. We're going to suspend broadcasting. They did this the first year. We're going to go silent for 1 minute each time that one of the planes hit and people died in memory of those. We're going to do that throughout the morning. We're going to have patriotic music. We're going to recognize the day. But I think it's amazing how quickly we have gotten over 9/11. Just 7 years ago, and yet we've gotten over it. We've gotten past it. And somehow or another, we think, and I'm going to say this as plain as I know how, we think that our military or our administration or our whatever has saved our hide. But may I say to you that it's not our own selves that have saved us. It's not anything that we have done. It's God Almighty who, first of all, kept it from being any worse than it was, and secondly, has continued to keep us safe. I believe that with all my heart. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm anti-war. It doesn't mean I'm anti-military. Certainly, I believe that you take the battle to them instead of them bringing the battle to us. I am very much in favor of a strong offense being the best defense. And I believe that we can attribute that to it. And I keep hearing about this wrong war and all the other things. What's wrong about it? What's wrong about it that a nation is now a democracy that was once a dictatorship, a nation that was once harboring terrorists and was a seedbed for terrorists is now seeking to eradicate them? What's wrong with that? What's wrong about that? You know, most people in this room don't even know what the Balkans War was about. Most people in here don't even know who we were fighting. We just know we were fighting somebody. That was a very popular war, by the way. Somebody said, well, it was peace during the Clinton era. It was not. We had a major war. It's just that it was not fought under the American flag. It was fought under the UN flag. Our troops, for the first time in history, took direct command from UN commanders, not American commanders. Yeah. Most people do not know that in the Balkans, we were fighting against the Christians and for the Muslims. Because in the Balkans, and that where that's at, that's the meeting place where the Middle East meets Europe. And the traditional Christian roots doesn't mean they were saved. When I say Christian, I'm not talking about saved people. I'm talking about Catholicism or whatever you want to call it. But Christian doctrine, Christian philosophy versus Muslim philosophy. And those two have always met right in that area. And that's where they met this time. And in Bosnia and Herzegovina and all the other places. And I don't even have a good grasp on it to this day. The maps have been rewritten. The lines have been redrawn. We took down a dictator who mass graves and da-da-da. And we had all the things. And, of course, it was a sterile war. We lost only a handful of men. And so it was a popular war. This one has taken longer. I say still, had we done what we should have in the Gulf War and went on to Baghdad, like President George Herbert Walker Bush wanted to do, like General Schwarzkopf wanted to do, but we put so much emphasis on our coalition, our Arab coalition, we put so much emphasis on that. I was over there, by the way, during that. And I talked to the Arab coalition. I talked to the Egyptians. I met with Egyptian military. I was in Kuwait City and was actually in a military camp, Egyptian camp. And the Egyptians, all they did was hold territory. They didn't take anything. I talked with the Saudi forces. I talked with the Kuwaiti forces. And three countries as a part of that multinational power. And I was there when the oil wells were still exploding. And the troops were heading north after the Republican Guard. I was going to be an embedded reporter attached with the North Carolina National Guard that was activated, and they were moving so fast I couldn't catch them. They pulled out and I missed the boat. And so we took off chasing them, and I never did catch them. And so we turned around and came back. I would not cross the Iraqi border. I ain't going. I said, as far as I chased them into Kuwait. I went to Kuwait City, and I said, I ain't going no further. When I can't find them now, I ain't going no further, so we turn and come back. But I said all that to say this. The same people who were our allies and friends, the Saudis, we built a base in Riyadh, and in the next war, they wouldn't even let us use our own base. They wouldn't help us in any way. Some allies. My point to all that is to say this. I very much believe in our military, and I believe in the cause of the war. I really do. And here's something that nobody's talking about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going into Iraq for the first time. Not since Nineveh and Jonah. Are you listening to me? Not since Jonah went into Nineveh has the gospel of Jesus Christ gone into Iraq. But it's there. We have four radio stations that are operational, that are there. The gospel's going in, churches are springing up, people are being saved, and God's moving. And I say amen to all of that. Now let me get back to what I'm going to tell you. Had it not been for the Lord, none of that would have been possible. Had it not been for the Lord, it wouldn't have been 4,000 dead, it would have been 40,000 dead or 400,000 dead. How many did we lose in World War II fighting a little bitty country called Japan? How many did we lose in World War II fighting a little bitty country called Germany? That in landmass were less and smaller nations than Iraq and Afghanistan. And yet we thought nothing. They tell me, Ralph Sexton told me that in Asheville, North Carolina, if you saw a young man, he said it got up to 30, 35 years old. If you saw a man that was under that age, who did not have a haircut on or a uniform or was limping, something was wrong. He was either limping or he was in a uniform. I had a friend, he was an old man when I was first starting out. He was an old man then. He was 39 years old and single. He was working in the shipyards in Newport News or wherever it's at. He was working in the shipyards. He was building ships. He was a carpenter. And they would go in and build all the scaffolding and the infrastructure that the steel workers would come in and weld off of. Then they'd go back in and tear all that back out. And that's what their job was. This man got drafted at 39 years of age in 1944. He was 39 and single and they drafted him. Now that tells you how desperate we were. That tells you how bad things were. And he took his draft notice to his supervisor there on the docks and he said, I got to go. And he handed him the draft notice and he said, you ain't going nowhere, boy. I need you here. Forget it. And somehow or another, he fixed it with the military and he did not have to go because he was considered essential civilian, whatever they called it. There was a classification that if you were somehow or another heavily involved in the cause, you could be exempted from service as a civilian, and I'm not sure what even, some of you could tell me what that was. But anyway, there was a classification that you could do as a civilian or civilian contractor. What I'm simply saying is this: we have paid a much higher price for a whole lot less real estate in time past. Much higher price for a whole lot less real estate in time gone by. But you see, it was the Lord. I believe it's still the Lord. And on this eve of 9/11, I want to look at this psalm. The Bible says, if it had not been for the Lord. There's that word again. You know I emphasize it all the time, but I still like it. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Anytime you find that in your Bible, that is a transliteration of the word that was used for God to describe himself. Someone has said it was God's first name, that God was on first name basis with the children of Israel. I don't know about that, but I do know that it was the covenant-keeping name of God. Because God told Moses, he said, who do I say sent me? And God said, you tell them I am that I am sent you. And we don't even know exactly how to spell it. We don't even know how to pronounce it because it was so holy to the Jews that they would not use it verbally. And when they would write it, they would leave out the vowels. And so it's a word with only consonants. We think it's Yahweh, but you would never say that to a Jew because it's offensive to them. Because it's so holy that certainly a Gentile should never be using it. Even the word Jehovah is offensive to them. Which Jehovah is the transliteration of the word Yahweh. So what I'm saying is we're not just talking about a word like Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the supreme deity. We're not talking about a word like Adonai, which means Lord. It's capital L, little O-R-D. And it's a strong word. It's a polite word. It's a word that shows rank and dignity and authority. And certainly he is the capital L, little O-R-D. But I got news for you. He's more than that. And I realize that the whole idea and the whole concept of Jehovah God, that name, that covenant-keeping name to the Jew, I realize that's Old Testament, and I realize it was indeed to the Jew. But do you realize that we have something even greater? The word Old Testament, when we use the term Old Testament, the concept, the idea behind that also lies in, you could call it the Old Covenant, without doing it any harm. Because that's what it was. It was the Old Covenant. And in turn, in like, you could say the New Covenant, or the New Testament Covenant, and not do any harm to Scripture. You would actually expound the Scripture by saying that. So what I'm simply saying to you is, no, he is not Jehovah of the Jew. He is not the covenant-keeping God of Israel to us. He's something more than that. He's not the covenant-keeping God of Israel. Hallelujah. He's the caregiving Christ of the church. So what I'm saying is, praise God. We split the deity. We split the covenant. We hyper-dispensationalize things. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus was the burning bush. It was the Lord Jesus' hand, the finger that wrote the tables on the Mount of Sinai. It was the Lord Jesus who cast worlds into existence. Study your book. Because he's one God manifest in three persons. So I said all that to say this: God, even on 9/11, manifested his presence. And had it not been for the Lord's presence, what would have happened to us? If it had not been for the Lord, look at this, who was on our side. Somebody said, preacher, how in the world was the Lord on our side? Oh, there's a list. Historians are still writing about it. Do you know why that the World Trade Center wasn't full? Anybody know? See, normally after 9 o'clock, the terrorists had planned it because everybody would be at work by 9. Those strikes were so well timed. They knew everybody would be at the Pentagon. They knew everybody would be in their places and they would get maximum kill. But what they didn't realize was that it was the first day of daycare and that a lot of parents were going to be just a couple of minutes late for work that day. And they said it could have dropped the population of the Trade Center by thousands. It was one of those mornings that people were running late. Had the planes hit just a little differently, the buildings could have come down instantaneously and no one would have got out. Had the planes hit lower, had the buildings collapsed, in a full day, I remember this distinctly, when both buildings are on fire and in threat of collapse, they were talking to some city officials and they said there could be as many as 50,000 people in those two towers. Now, I've been in those towers and I didn't realize it could hold that many, but that's what they said. And I don't know if they were talking about the subways underneath them, because there was a subway run right under the building. I don't know if they're talking about that. I don't know if they're talking about the mall. They may have been talking about the complex, the World Trade Center's complex, which consisted of, what, 5 or 7 buildings, and most of those were destroyed. I don't know, but I do remember them saying that. Our death toll could have been higher than 3,000. They thought it would be 30,000. They actually did. They thought it could have been even higher than that. And by the way, it would have been much higher than that had it not been for the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord. Think of the fact, had they thought to think of this. Think if they had thought to hijack a jumbo 747. They used the wide-bodied transcontinental aircraft, which are much, much smaller. Think, number one, if those flights would have been booked full. Do you realize if they had hijacked a plane outbound, that a 747 carries 56,000 gallons of jet fuel and 425 souls plus crew? We could have had easily, had they hijacked 747s, we could have had 2,000 casualties just on the airliners. Can you imagine the damage that would have been done by a plane so big that it would have, the plane so big that the wings would have been wider than the building and it would have cut the building in half? Could have happened. The mass of a 747 compared to a regular aircraft, quite amazing. The thrust of the engines, all of it. You get one fully loaded and you dive it down, it could have knocked the buildings over, literally. Could have knocked them off their foundation. It could have. What I'm saying is, had it not been for the Lord, you know, they weren't looking for the Pentagon. They were looking for the Capitol. They were looking for the White House. Had they gone into either one of those, it would have been tragic. But that's what they were trying to do. By the way, the House and Senate were in session that day. 435 legislators plus aides plus all the rest were there in that building. 435. Can you imagine as much disarray as happened, as much disarray as was caused with just what happened, can you imagine if all of a sudden there are no senators and there are no congressmen left? They've all been killed. Can you imagine what could have happened? And it could have happened. It could have happened because they evacuated both of those houses and they went into an emergency situation. What if they had taken out the president? Now, some of you don't remember JFK and the death of JFK. I wasn't very old, but I remember it. And I do remember this. On the day that JFK was killed, we were not Democrats and Republicans, Catholic or Protestant. We were all Americans. All of us. They wasn't a commie in the bunch. They wasn't a liberal in the bunch. We was all American, son. All. Didn't matter whether you agreed with him or not. He was your president and somebody went and killed him. And son, this country was in a turmoil. The same thing happened on 9/11. It only happens, Pearl Harbor, JFK, 9/11. Seldom does a generation have two of those awakening. Seldom does a generation have two times when they realize so vividly the Lord's presence. Even where that thing struck the Pentagon, it was an area that had been remodeled. It was an area that was still being remodeled. It was an area that had been lined with Kevlar. The walls were lined with Kevlar. Kevlar is what they use in bulletproof vests. And while it didn't stop, obviously, an airplane, it did diminish it. And because it was an area that had been newly remodeled, it had been fortified and it had been beefed up, and there weren't that many people in there moved back into it yet because it was newly remodeled. Had they hit any of the other 5 sides of the Pentagon, the death toll could have been much greater. and could have taken out chief officers of our military, could have taken out large numbers and chief people, depending on where they had hit in the inner rings and where they had hit in that thing, if it had not been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, the one in Pennsylvania, I mean, the terrorists could have brought it down in a school, a hospital. When they saw that they couldn't make it onto their target and they were probably going to the White House, it's what most people think. It's where they were heading. They evacuated the White House. Mrs. Bush was evacuated because they thought it was going to be struck. They actually had, you know, they were trying to take measures to prevent it. But had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for brave souls on board, had it not been for some Christian people that we know and testified were on that airplane, that said, we don't know what we're going to do, but we know one thing, we ain't going to let this go on. When they found out that three other planes had already hit, they said, well, we got to do something. And they did it. And God had a field. And it's a sad thing those precious souls died in that field. But their lives were not wasted. It showed Americans fighting back if we knew what to fight against. The only reason we didn't fight the other three times is we didn't know what we was fighting. We didn't know who the enemy was and what the enemy was doing. We had never had anybody hijack a airplane and harm anybody in America. And so protocol for hijacking airplanes was, you let them have it, they go to where they're going to go. Remember when they used to hijack them to Cuba all the time? That got to be a regular thing. Anybody going to Miami, you went to round trip by Cuba, you know. You had to go to Cuba and get off, and then they'd bring it back. I mean, it used to be a joke back in the 70s or 60s sometime. It used to be a joke. You used to do it all the time. So the protocol was still in place, but it was a very outdated protocol. They did not realize what was fixing to happen. They had no idea. But now we know. But the interesting thing is that the Lord didn't say, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side once, now may Israel say, but He said it again, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Notice in your Bible, the words, if it had not been, are in italics. Those were added by the translators. Now understand, it doesn't change the text whatsoever, because the Greek word or the Hebrew words here, it took one Hebrew word expressed as much as all of these English words. And so that's why it's done this way. But they were saying, if the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. By the way, there were twin towers and there's a twin declaration here. If it had not been for the Lord on the north tower, had it not been for the Lord on the south tower, had it not been for the Lord, thousands more could have died and tomorrow could be a much graver day than it is already. The Bible says when men rose up against us, because we think about rising up, but think about it. These men rose up in aircraft and rained down upon us. Hallelujah for the presence of the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord. But then secondly, if it had not been for the Lord's protection. The Bible says, then they had swallowed us up quick. Then they had swallowed us up quick. You think about it. They struck at our national symbols. The World Trade Centers were the symbols of commerce. They were the symbol of finance, international markets. That's why they were called the World Trade Center. A lot of people don't realize a lot of nationalities died in that. People all over the world lost people in those two towers because it was indeed a World Trade Center. And of course, debris rained down on Wall Street and shut down the stock market and shut down everything. And so there was great implication by them striking that. And then secondly, they not only struck at our financial institution, they struck at our military by hitting the Pentagon. The Pentagon's a recognizable building anywhere in the world. I can't tell you the base of Israel's military. I can't tell you the base of Britain's military. I don't know. I don't really know where it stays at. But I guarantee you they can tell us or they can tell you where ours is. You ever thought about that? I'll guarantee you they can tell you where ours is. You can go to anywhere in the world and say, where's the American military hub? Where's the American hub of the brain of the military of America? They say, the Pentagon. And they struck at that. And in doing so, and of course, had they hit the Capitol, had they hit the White House, had they been successful. And let me say this, We still don't know. One of the big debacles of that whole thing was that we let people walk away from those airplanes that we forcibly landed. We don't know how many more were in there. We don't have a clue. They still believe today many. They know for a fact many men of Arab descent had booked together and were sitting in areas close to each other on a variety of aircraft across America that were in the air. And so when the decision was made to bring all aircraft down, it was a remarkable event. Aircraft were brought down in airports that couldn't even land aircraft that size. They said, get down anywhere and as quick as you can, get on the ground. They had to get fire departments to come and bring fire trucks and ladders to get people out of airplanes because these little municipal fields didn't even have the big stairs to get up to these big jetliners. There's a base in Greenland, or base in, not Greenland, but Labrador. There's a base in Labrador. And because all the inbound were coming in, we stopped all inbound traffic. And Canada could no handle no more. They began putting people on the ground in Labrador. There are people who stayed on the aircraft for 2 and 3 days in Labrador because they didn't have a place to put them. And they sat there inside the plane in terrible condition. They stayed in the planes. And in some cases, they had to actually get the people off, get the luggage off, and fly the aircraft out empty because they couldn't. The runway wasn't long enough for it to take off. And the FAA wouldn't let them go. I know a preacher whose nephew was in high rank. He's now a brigadier general. He's high rank with the Air Force. He is the commander of Guam, by the way. He was en route, and he got put down. He was going across the country somewhere. He got put down. He was in civilian clothing. He got put down, I think it was in Memphis, Tennessee. And he ended up renting a rider truck because there were no cars left. He got a U-Haul or a ride or something, and that's how he got to the nearest base, report for duty. He's in a moving truck because it was the only rental vehicle left in the whole town. And so he paid whatever it was and told him he didn't want any boxes or blankets. He was good. He'd just take it like it was one way and go to the next town. Isn't that something? That happened. The Bible says, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. That's exactly what it was. These folks were mad, and they were mad enough to kill us. And they were mad enough to kill themselves. And they said just before or when the takeover occurred, they screamed, Allah is great. And they put rags around their heads, and they went through all the things of a fighter, of a martyr. They went through all the things of a kamikaze. And yet the Lord, His protection. Bible says, would have swallowed us up quick, but God's protection kept us from being devoured. The Bible says in verse 4, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. The proud waters had gone over our soul. I don't know about you, but about 10, 11 o'clock, I felt like I was in a swimming pool up to my bottom lip. And when I saw that second tower fall, I felt like I was just tiptoeing to keep the water coming in my nose. Now, there was no water, but the pressure on my chest and the pressure on me, it was as if I was in a deep pool of water tiptoeing, just barely had my nose above water. I felt like I was drowning. It's one of the few times that I ever lost my composure on the radio. I was doing a live broadcast just a few hours after that. And I'd been through every emotion known to man. And they showed the Palestinians in Gaza Strip throwing candy and dancing in the street. And I said some things that I shouldn't ought to have said. And I said it as I left the microphone. I flew into a rage. I went out, I left the microphone, I just run away from the microphone, I went out in the hallway, and I stood and looked out that window, and I sat there and cried. And tears dropped off and hit that windowsill. And I was so mad. I promise you, I was so mad that I don't know what I'd have done. There have been few times in my life I've been mad enough to cry. It's only happened a couple, three times. And I will tell you this, I was mad enough to kill very quickly, very easily. And I stood there and wept. I was drowning. I was overcome. Did you know our whole nation felt that way? But what they didn't realize was, that anger was going to turn into resolve. That resolve was going to turn into fortitude. That fortitude was going to turn into action. And tomorrow you'll hear it, and you can call it political if you want to, but you'll hear George Bush standing at the World Trade Center on a bullhorn saying, "I can hear you." And very shortly, the world will hear you. We go after the people who knock these buildings down. We're going to play that again and again all throughout the day tomorrow. Everybody's forgot that. We have a very unpopular president as it stands right now. He's twice as popular as the Congress, but they still call him a very unpopular president. But I can remember when his ratings were up almost 100% on September the 12th, 13th, and 14th, when everybody in this country was behind him. Had it not been for the Lord and His presence, had it not been for the Lord and His protection, had it not been for the Lord and His preeminence, look what the Bible says. "Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth." Hallelujah. I want to say that bless the Lord, bless His name for the hindering forces. The hindering forces. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know if America was going to be here the next day or not. The president was gone. For a time, we didn't know where he was. They were in a defensive posture. They were moving him around. The Congress was evacuated. Our jets were flying around aimlessly with nothing to shoot at. Our interceptors flew in only to see the smoke of the buildings. You know, we were late getting there, and it seemed like there was nobody to fight. There was nobody to shoot at. I remember very distinctly the fair going on. I remember getting a call from then Secretary of Agriculture in Raleigh and called me and said, "We want you tonight to go to the fair. And at 7:30, we're going to stop the North Carolina Mountain State Fair. And we want you to go to the microphone. We want you to lead in prayer. And I want you to lead the entire... We're going to stop the entire fair on 9/11. We're going to stop it. And I want you to take time over the PA system." I never will forget it. I walked in. I was met with every dignitary. The agriculture commissioner herself was not there, but her first assistant and everybody down was. The down line all the way from Raleigh was there. I'm talking about big dignitaries. They were all standing there. We walked into that place, and I stood there and watched my watch, and one by one the rides closed, one by one the music stopped, one by one everybody stopped. The whole fair stopped. Of course, there weren't many there anyway. And at 7:30, I took the microphone and flipped it on. And I don't remember what I prayed. I don't remember exactly how I prayed, but I watched grown men stand there and cry. I prayed with my eyes open, and I was looking around, and I saw tears running down grown men's face. And I've never seen anything quite like it before or since. As a matter of fact, someone from another state made the statement, and I don't say this braggingly, they said, "You won't believe what happened here last night." They were telling someone else, third person, and they said, "The state of North Carolina interrupted the fair. And they brought in a preacher. And said he was just an old mountain preacher, said you could tell by the way he talked. This was a fellow from Vermont talking. And he said, I don't know who he was or what he was, but said, there's cold chills all over me when he got done praying. Said, I ain't never felt nothing like that in my life. I jumped in the car, my wife with me. We went straight to the high school stadium where the mayor had asked me to come. Different ones had had a time of prayer, and there were several hundred gathering in the stadium. And I walked up just as it was closing, and they asked me to have the final and closing prayer. And 400, 500, 600 folks there in the bleachers. And again, God met with us. I was there on the track. I stand on the track with a microphone. And God met with us. I'm talking about what no struggle trying to figure out what to say. It was trying to keep from saying things. And holy boldness and the holy touch of God. I mean, it was, I'll never forget it. There's Holy Ghost bumps jumped up on my back. You could have hung your coat on. Whew. I never will forget that. God's preeminence. And that's what it turned into. I mean, even when the Congress walked out on the steps and they say spontaneously, House and Senate together begin singing, God Bless America. Now, some said, well, some, you know, were not too, you know, that kind of happened, and yeah, they participated, but it was not as in a much unison as you might think. I don't care. I still think heaven liked it. I still think heaven liked it. I do. I think heaven liked it. Matter of fact, I know heaven liked it. And God hindered, but also God helped. Verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. You know, it's interesting that David wrote this during his lifetime, but as a bird out of the snare of the fowler, out of the snare, those planes were being snared by the fowlers in midair and brought down. And one by one, I saw the video of it. One by one, those airplanes begin to leave the screen. On a normal business day, if you've ever seen the airplane map where all the little airplanes are across the nation, it turns green with the little airplanes. It's just solid. It's amazing how many people fly. I forgot how many million people are in the air at one given time. It's a bunch. I do know that Atlanta Hartsville has broken 300,000 people a day as the busiest airport in the world. Just Atlanta moves 300,000 a day. Now add Chicago, which is a close second, and then add all the other airports nationwide, folks. A lot of people in the air. And yet, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. You know, I don't even think about it now when I get on an airplane. I don't think about a terrorist. I don't think about those things. Because that's that particular, they won't be able to use that one again. We figured that one out. And now you can't even take a Coke onto an airplane. Now they take your mouthwash away if it's more than 3 ounces. Now you can't, all these things. I mean, it's tough. I'm still amazed, though, that we x-ray little women, blue-haired ladies with artificial hips. I'm still amazed because we've never had an airplane bombed by a little lady with blue hair and artificial hip. We never had that happen. Yet we still do, you know, body searches and all this other stuff on them. And yet these ragheads, they go in and out with freedom. You know, they go in and out without a problem. I still got a problem with that. I do. They call it profiling. I said, well, let me ask you a question. If a white man in a red car robbed a bank, are you going to be looking for black men in green cars? Well, you need to be, because you shouldn't be profiling white men in red cars. Well, that's who did it. I said, well, that makes about as much sense to start stopping green cars and blue cars and yellow cars, because you really can't stop red cars because that would be discrimination. It makes about that much sense to screen everybody the way that you would screen Muslim men between 17 and 35 who have done all the bombing and all the killing and have all been Muslim and of Arab descent all the way back the attacks on the Israeli, when was that? The Israeli team at the Olympics and the murders there that were carried out. It was Muslim, I mean, same group, same did that all the way up until 9/11 and even beyond. It's all been by that same profile, by that same group. And yet, anyway, our soul has escaped. The snare is broken. We are escaped. But look at this last point. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, I have never been a part of a national revival, and you haven't either. There's nobody in this building that's ever been a part of a national revival, because there's not been one in our lifetime. But if we never experience it, I will be able to tell my grandkids and great-grandkids, I kind of know what it feels like. Because it was a couple of days just a few days, back in 2001, we were attacked by foreigners. And there was a time that God consciousness came back to this country like a flood. There was a time that God-denying commentators on television were saying, pray, pray, pray. God-denying commentators who were anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-everything, but when the buildings were on fire and the planes and the Pentagon smoking, they were on television saying, oh, we got to pray. I only saw a day or two. It didn't last long. It wasn't just, I mean, I saw this. I saw it rare up. Now, I understand it wasn't necessarily revival as such, but I saw what it could be like. I saw what it should be like. I saw a glimpse of what it would be like if God ever sat down on this country. This is exactly right. And I liked it. And I hope and pray that we experience it again, but I hope it's not as a result of us being brought low again. But I'm going to tell you something. And I say this with all humility and with all respect to our country. We do not deserve the 7 years of blessing that God has given us. You see, we have not been grateful that the Lord was on our side. We have not been grateful that the Lord protected us. We've not been grateful for the Lord's presence. And we've not been grateful and we've not stood strong in God's preeminence. And you'd think 7 years later we would be standing up against false religion, and especially against Mohammedism and those who would seek to destroy us. And instead, we're embracing it at an unbelievable rate. If you'd have told me 7 years ago that we would be as a country where we are right now, I'd have called you a liar. I said, well, ain't no way. That'll never happen. And it never happened. And yet one of the most prominent names in America are three Arab words, three Arab names. The most prominent name in our country right now, or one of the most prominent names in our country, are all three of Arabic descent. And it may not be about Muslim, but you can't deny it being Arabic and the roots thereof. God help America. God bless America.